Hey there, welcome to it. I'm Gary Strubel. It's time for the Ghost Biz here on the Business Report. And as always, I chat to the finance ghost who brings us up to date with what's happening in the markets here in Southern Africa. So, Ghost, welcome back to it. A couple of results were announced that seems to indicate perhaps the slightest turning of the corner for the economy in South Africa. And perhaps we might be reading too much into these, so help us delve into them. Let's start out with Cashbuild. Now, Cashbuild released full-year sales numbers, which aren't financial results, but they do give us an indication of how things are going. And, of course, that part of the market, DIY and building suppliers, give us an indication of what people are spending money on. What does it look like for Cashbuild?
Hello, Gary, and to all the listeners, thank you once again for doing this with me. And yes, Cashbuild, a pretty interesting one at the moment. So I actually wrote an article recently and put Cashbuild forward as a potential long position. So we'll see how that plays out. I actually contrasted it against Mr. Price as a potential short, not because these companies are ultimately comparable, because clearly they aren't, right? One is selling clothing and the other is selling building supplies. But because you need to look at the South African market landscape and figure out where each company is in its story. And Cashbuild, for example, looks like something that might have bottomed, as you say. Not necessarily the share price, because the share price tends to move ahead of a recovery. So that's not a comment on the share price specifically, but more on the business itself. After a really tough period of lack of consumer spending and just, you know, a really bad time where everyone was having to spend on solar instead of putting that extra room on their house or whatever they might have wanted to actually do. You know, load shedding is now, seems to be a thing of the past, miracle upon miracle. And people are feeling better about South Africa after the elections. And if we can get to a point where interest rates start to come down, then that could really get exciting for Cashbuild. And in the meantime, Cashbuild South Africa, which is over 80% of group sales, I think it's about 82%, that grew revenue by 4% in the fourth quarter. So the revenue through the year, the momentum in that is something to look out for. And if that momentum can carry on now into the new financial year, I think it could get particularly interesting. So I would have Cashbuild on my radar as a company to consider as part of a broader South African recovery. Obviously, like all stock positions, it's risky and it does require a significant uptick in consumer discretionary spending.
Now, another share price or a share that we often look at to give us a sense of the health of the South African economy and what consumers are spending money on is Mr. Price. It's always a mistake to just look at one player in a field, but Mr. Price, given its enormous store network and the very wide demographic it serves, is a very interesting share to look at to get some sense of what's going on. And in your analysis on Ghost Bites, and of course you can go to ghostmail.co.za and check these out for yourself if you're interested in what's going on in the markets. But in your Ghost Bites piece, you have a headline that says you have to be so careful in interpreting these numbers. So give us a sense of what's going on with Mr. Price and what is particularly interesting.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. You're giving me a chance there to talk to the short thesis on Mr. Price. And it's really quite straightforward. They've been highly, highly acquisitive. Now, if you are sitting on cash on your balance sheet and if you want to show revenue growth, you can just go buy it. I mean, it's as simple as that. You can literally go and buy up a whole lot of companies, consolidate their revenue and show growth. And yes, that does mean that technically speaking, you are winning market share, for example, and you are growing as a group. But are you growing in the healthiest way possible? Because for me, the thing to always look at is how the same store or comparable store sales are doing. And in the quarter end of June, Mr. Price could only manage comparable store sales growth of just 0.1%. So that is a pretty tough number when you look at their core business. Group retail sales, on the other hand, that was up 4.6%. Now, they do highlight some other good news stories like gaining market share for 11 consecutive months, but that's because the comparable market is down 0.2%. So yes, they gained market share even without the acquisitions, but the point is that no one is really doing well. So this is a combination of consumer spending and everything else, but I also think you've got to be careful of the Chinese threat here. Mr. Price, at the end of the day, is value-based fashion to a large extent, and these Chinese sort of dropship type companies, Temu, similar, are really causing havoc for some of these players. There are a lot of people who are trying out these Chinese suppliers and are happy with them. They know it's cheap quality, but that's all they're really looking for. And that's not good for Mr. Price. On the plus side, they had a good June. So that's new information since I wrote that last piece thinking that Mr. Price could be a decent short. But I still stand by my view. I think if you look at the share price for Mr. Price, it does look overcooked to me. It looks like it's really struggling to actually break above the levels that it's at right now. And on the whole, it just looks quite weak to me versus some of its competitors. We will have to see what happens. I'm not sure. Obviously, again, you know, if long positions are risky, then short positions are even worse. But go check out a chart for those who enjoy trading. Form your own view. It does make for quite interesting reading. And of all the fashion retailers at the moment, Mr. Price wouldn't be my choice just because I think they find themselves in a little bit of a strategic no man's land for the moment at least.
Another share that gives us a sense of what's going on in the consumer base is a company called Impact. Now, Impact do printing, mostly packaging. And of course, packaging takes two principal formats, that's paper and plastic. And we're seeing two different stories for those two forms of packaging. But overall, Impact also gives us a sense of you know, how many goods are being pushed into market. Give us an idea of what's going on at Impact.
Impact is yet another interesting one on the JSE because those two divisions very rarely move in the same direction. So often paper will do well and plastics won't, or plastics will do well and paper won't. It really does depend because both of those segments are actually dependent on pretty much completely different things. So Impact is diversified in that respect. They're not really geographically diversified, but they are diversified across those two segments. As I say, though, the challenge is you often find that one does well and then one doesn't do well. So, for example, in the 6 months to June, revenue was down 1% overall, plastics up 11%, paper down 3%. So there, plastics very much carried the story. But because of the size of the paper business relative to the plastics business, they still saw revenue dip. EBITDA down 8%, operating profit down 20%, headline earnings per share down by as much as 33.8%, or at least 28.6% from total operations. So pretty tough numbers here. And it really comes down to, you know, that paper business just not recovering the overheads. And that is the challenge when you are a manufacturing concern. If your volumes are struggling, then your overhead absorption goes wrong, your gross margins take a knock, and your profitability can quite quickly go the wrong way. So Impact's quite a tough one outside looking in to really try and understand, because the paper and plastic markets seem to march to their own tune. And I would always caution people to, you know, not necessarily get involved there unless you feel like you have a handle on those markets.
And then lastly, guys, just a bit of a broad generic question. It's been a couple of weeks now since the GNU happened in South Africa, and it seems, certainly here in Namibia, that things have taken an unexpectedly quiet turn. And often in these spaces, we'll see no news as good news. We're also seeing some, it looks like, measured caution coming from the markets, but certainly a little bit more optimistic than it was in the past. How are we seeing things happen at the moment? And do you foresee that this will be sustainable through the rest of 2024?
I tend to agree with you. It does feel a little bit quieter. And I wonder if that's not just because people actually need to roll up their sleeves now and get some work done. I mean, we've been through the elections. We've listened to everyone's long stories and promises in true politician style. And at some point, they now just need to deliver. So hopefully we are seeing more and more of that now playing out behind the scenes, because the beauty of this GNU is that we now do have a competitive environment among the politicians. And I think South Africans are smart enough and experienced enough with democracy these days to know that just writing smart tweets, you know, does not make you a good politician and does not change the situation on the ground. So I think that a lot of these politicians have realized they need to deliver now. Hopefully that is what's happening in the background. And I think towards the end of this year, we should see more and more reports around what they're actually busy doing, as opposed to lots and lots of rhetoric online. And certainly let's hope that is the case, because that's what this country needs above all else.
All right, Ghost, we'll leave you off to your wanderings. Thank you very much, as always, for your inputs, thoughts and wisdom. And we'll chat to you again next week right here on Ghost Biz on The Business Report.